All of us are seated in him at the right hand of the Father.
Praise you, Jesus.
And therefore, we are far above all principality, might, and dominion. I don't care what name you name it.
As a believer, the Bible shares that you are seated in the heavenlies in the place of authority at God's right hand. Today, learn more as Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim encourage you to be bold and take your seat with Christ next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim is still with us, and we're talking about taking authority over wicked and evil things. The authority of the believer. We've got the authority to do it.
Yes.
Now we have to do
and
it.
And we have the position. We're seated far above them.
That's right.
Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion at
we
the right hand of the Father.
That's right.
We're operating from heavenly Jerusalem, the highest kingdom of all.
Amen.
But we have to operate.
That's true.
Now I'm going to, keeping in mind all that we've learned about our position and who we are and where we are, I'm going to suggest to you, because the times are perilous. It says in the New Testament that perilous times are coming. So I want to read to you out of this book. We've offered this book before on this broadcast. I'm sure that you sell this in your bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And they could order it from you. They could order it from us. It's Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan. He writes in the front, "The rapidly approaching end of the age is witnessing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness. Have you noticed?" Now, I'm going to show you that that's biblical. It is written in Revelation. It says, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. And mark that place, because we're going to go back and forth between this and Ephesians 1. "The devil is come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time." Now this word for time here, kairos, is kind of like moed in the Old Testament. It's a fixed time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fixed time when Adam's lease is up. He knows when that lease is up. He knows how much time he's got left. He's really short on time, so it says he's going to have great wrath. He's got great wrath, and he's sending things upon this earth right now that we've never seen before. I'm telling you, my grandfather, he could hardly believe what's happening right now. So he writes, McMillan writes in this book, Authority of the Believer, "The rapidly approaching end of the age is witnessing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness." This man died in 1956. So what would he think about now? "To meet the situation, the Church of Christ needs a new conception of prayer." He's going to call this prayer. "The urgent call is for men and women wholly yielded to the Lord, whose eyes have been enlightened to see the ministry in the heavenlies." We're seated in the heavenlies. We have a ministry from there. "To which they have been called." We've been called to that place. We've been called to rule and reign over earth from there. "Such believers may, in union with the great head of the body, exercise an authority to which the powers of the air must give place wherever challenged." They have to. They must. Ephesians 6:18 tells us there are all kinds of prayers. And one of those kinds of prayers is the authority of the believer. Writing about that authority of the believer, he writes, "There are a few subjects relating to the Christian life concerning which there's so little exact knowledge, and few subjects which Satan fights so hard," finding out about. "He does it through his blinding tactics." Now, we are told we have a ministry in the heavenlies. He's going to use Ephesians chapter 1, which tells us we've been seated in him. When he was raised, we were raised. We're going to read that. And we are given dominion. The Bible says that God created man in his image and let them have dominion.
That's right.
The Art Scrolls Hebrews translations has a note, man's dominion is not merely a privilege, it is an obligation.
That's good.
And you, in the church of the living God, who have been raised when He was raised and seated at the right hand of the Father, you have an obligation to use your position and use your spiritual weapons, which are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You are obligated to use them. Lester Sumrall said, you will either dominate or you will be dominated. Take a look at your life. Judge your own self. You don't get to judge others. Judge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Are you being dominated or are you dominating? If you're in your house and you've got the window blinds closed and you're scared to watch the news, you're being dominated. And you're frightened to go out, you are to dominate. We're told this in Romans 5:17. In Romans 5:17, the Lord says to us, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that would be Adam, much more they that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. You have an obligation and a call from God to reign in this life. Here's how the Amplified Bible translates it. For if because of one man's offense death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness reign as kings in life.
Kings in life.
Through the one man, Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, going to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read it. Brother Hagin, in his book, The Believer's Authority, which he got a lot of his inspiration from this book, he encouraged us years ago to pray this prayer every single day. Almost every single day I pray it. Ephesians 1, 17. I pray it every day. Brother Hagin wrote in his book, The Believer's Authority, to pray it every day. We had a man who came to work for us at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, hadn't been born again very long. And he came to me, I was the editor of publications, and he said, Brother Hagin contradicts himself. We got to change the books. He says you pray it once and believe you receive it. And then after that, you thank God. And then here in this book, Believer's Authority, he tells you to pray this prayer every day. And I thought, there's different kinds of prayer. Brother Hagin taught us that when it says in Ephesians 6, pray with all kinds of prayer, different kinds of prayer. There's the prayer of faith. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have. That's for you, your house, your authority. But this is another kind of prayer. This is a different kind of a prayer. And this prayer, he suggested praying it every day. Now, someone say, I don't have to pray it every day. I don't need to plead the blood every day. I wrote a book, The Blood and the Glory. Every single morning, I draw bloodlines and tell Satan where he can and go and cannot go. Someone said, I don't have to do that every day. Well, the Lord told me you did. And he backed it up with a scripture when I was writing this book. It's over there, the same chapter, where it talks about the devil having great wrath because he sees his time is short. It says, it calls him the accuser, verse 10, the last half of the verse, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses. King James says accused, but I'm telling you, I saw that in the Companion Bible, and it is in the present tense, accuses. You can look up that word. Who accuses them before our God day and night. He accuses us day and night. And the Lord told me when I was writing this book, The Blood and the Glory, you answer those accusations. It's like a courtroom scene in heaven. God the Father is the judge of all. Jesus is the mediator. He is our advocate. The prosecuting attorney is Satan. And he will come in the morning. Let's say he says, they're not in the right place. I can get to them. They've given me a place. You can answer his accusations morning and night with the blood. You can answer it with your authority. But if you don't answer it and you don't get in the right place or do whatever God's telling you to do, you yourself open the door for the devil. We talked about the other day about you and Ken and the car wreck that came and how God was trying to get you to get the right place. So he came to, I read a book about a man, a military man who had gone to heaven, and he said those accusations still penetrate. It's legal. He's still got the right. He's sinned, but he's still on the loose. And he'd be on the loose until Adam's lease is up. And Jesus is not going to handle him. He's already done everything to handle him. He made a show of him openly in the depths of hell, triumphing over him. And then he said to us, I give you the authority. Mm-hmm. Brother Hagin, once Jesus appeared, Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, his life has been marked by open visions. You can read his book, I Believe in Visions. And Jesus was there talking to Brother Hagin, and there was a little imp over here, and he was throwing up an ink screen. And he was going, yakety-yak-yak, yakety-yak-yak, yakety-yak-yak. And Brother Hagin was standing there looking at Jesus, and Jesus is talking, and Brother Hagin can't hear him. He said, I wish Jesus would do something about that. Devil, doesn't he know I can't hear him? Finally, Brother Hagin said to the devil, the little imp, get! I remember, I don't know if he used the name of Jesus or what he did, but in other words, he got.
Yeah.
He get it out of there. And Jesus said to Brother Hagin, I'm glad you did that, because if you had not done it, I could not. And Brother Hagin said, surely you mean, Lord, you would not. No, I could not. All authority was given to me in heaven and earth, and I gave the authority on earth to my body. And you're the one. I've done all I'm going to do about the devil. So you got born again, right? The day you got born again, your spirit washed, ready for heaven. But you're still living in this earth. You're in an earth suit. You are here wrestling not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers over whom you have dominion. But if you don't take the dominion, it is not going to fall on you like cherries off of a tree. You have to do the word. Now, he uses this prayer, which Brother Hagin told us to pray every day. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's a spirit-anointed prayer in verse 17 of chapter 1 Ephesians. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray it like this. Give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I may know. And He asks for three things for us to know. Number one, what is the hope of His calling? Number two, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance, your inheritance in the saints? But number three is the one we're going to camp on. He wants us to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in the Anointed One.
Praise God.
When He raised Him from the dead. Right down there in hell, even came by and picked up His body, glorified it, and He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the throne room in heavenly Jerusalem. Far above.
Praise you, Jesus.
Far above all.
All.
Not one devil. Not That's Satan right. himself, not any little imp.
That's exactly
above right. all, and seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name or title that can be given. Not only in this world and age, but also in that which is to come. And He hath put all things under His feet. And gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. The church, the ecclesia, the assembly, every mm-hmm. single born-again one. People are always, they split theological hairs. trying to make a difference between the body and the bride. A lot of people don't act right, but their spirits are just as born again as mine. Not that I act so great, but...
Yeah, but you work at it.
Yeah, I work at it. But the church, the ecclesia, it's his body. He's the head, we're the body. Not only are we the body, we're the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you, me, hath he quickened. Don't stop reading at chapter 2, and don't stop praying at chapter 2. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Then I go to verse 4 when I pray this every day. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, wherewith he loved me, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, that means made alive, together with Christ. By grace we are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When he quickened him, Gloria, he quickened you and me.
That's right.
When he raised him,
yes,
he raised
God.
You and me. When he seated him, he seated you and me, and you and you, all of us, are seated in him at the right hand of
Praise
the Father.
Praise you, Jesus.
And therefore, we are far above mm-hmm. all principality, might, and dominion. I don't care what name you name it. I don't care if you call it the caliph. I don't care if you call it the ISIS, ISIL, Islamic Jihad. There's 100 groups of them now that are named, operating in that area. They can have maybe 500 by the time that this is broadcast. But we don't care because we're above every name that is named.
Amen.
It says that it placed all of that under his feet, and his feet are in the body, and we're the body. So it's all under us. They can't move into your neighborhood and be over you. You can
That's
keep
good.
Them out of your neighborhood if you will take your place, if you will be seated at the right hand of the Father, and you will... take your dominion. He writes, the believer who is fully conscious of the divine power behind him and of his own authority can face the enemy without fear or hesitation. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
That's right.
The right hand of the throne of God. Let's read this right here. In calling attention to the exceeding greatness of his power, we point out it's to usward who believe. Christ was man overcoming for mankind and preparing through his own incumbency a throne and a heavenly ministry. The very act of God which raised the Lord from the dead raised also his body. Head and body are naturally raised together. Christ the head, his body the church.
Praise God.
The right hand of the throne of the God is the center of power for the whole universe, and the exercising of the power of the throne was committed unto the ascended Lord. The elevation of his people with him to the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers in the future and in the present of the authority which is his. They are made to sit with him. That is, they share his throne.
Praise God.
To share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. Indeed, they have been thus elevated in the plan of God for this very purpose, that they may even now exercise to the extent of their spiritual apprehension authority over the powers
Praise
of the air
God.
And over the conditions which those powers have brought about on the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless manipulation of the minds and circumstances of mankind. Lots more things I could read in here. But one reason why I recommend this book is because on page 27, he tells you how to do it. So I always tell the people, get the book and do page 27 every day. He writes, do we believe that God, quote, hath quickened us together with Christ and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? If we do, our reaction to it will be a fervent, and this is like a little prayer he gives. Sometimes I get page 27 and read this. Sometimes I don't. Lord, I accept thy gracious word. I believe that you have thus wrought for me. In humble faith, I do now take my seat in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus at your right hand. Teach me how to fulfill this sacred ministry, how to exercise the authority which thou hast entrusted to me. Train me day by day that I may attain to the full stature of the perfect man in Christ, so that in me thy purpose of the ages may be fulfilled. And so I sit in my chair in the mornings. I have prayed this prayer in Ephesians. I call Satan to attention. I want him to listen to me. I want the kingdom of darkness to listen to me. And I rule and reign. I always do it from a seated position, like I'm in a throne. And I say to Satan, kingdom of darkness, I'm serving you. Notice that I've been translated out of your authority. According to Colossians, you have no authority over me. I am seated far above you. I wrote a book, The Blood and the Glory. Lots of good things in there. I draw a bloodline around the following. And I name my children and my grandchildren. I name the good works God has ordained that I should walk in. I call for my spirit, soul, and body under the blood, the speaking blood.
Yes,
I put the blood over our houses, lands, airplanes, cars, partners, monies. And I serve him notice what he can
praise
do and what
God.
He can't do.
That's right.
You can't accuse me today to the Father. I've got the gift of righteousness. So
powerful.
I do that every day. I do it because I know the Lord spoke to me about doing it morning and night. And he writes here, if we are walking in the Spirit, our normal life is in the heavenlies. To secure the consciousness of this, there must be the daily acceptance of the fact. You can't just hear the word, you got to do it. Let us, morning by morning, don't argue with it, just do it. Let us, morning by morning, as one of our first acts of worship, take our seat with Christ, as suggested in the previous paragraph, and return thanks to God for all that it implies. Let us often remind ourselves that we are seated far above all the powers of the air, and they are in subjection to us.
Praise God.
Our faith learns to use the name and authority of Jesus, we shall find spiritual forces yielding obedience in ways that will surprise
Praise
us.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
As we continue to abide closely in him, our prayers for the advancement of the kingdom will become less and less the uttering of petitions and will become increasingly manifest the exercise of spiritual authority that binds the forces of darkness.
You talk about something that'll change your circumstances. That's it. Glory to God. And you just learn to live that way.
Yeah.
And don't give the what does the scripture say? Give the devil no place. And that's what we intend to do. Amen.
Amen.
Billy and I'll be right back.
For 35 years, the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast has taught people how to walk in faith every day through the power of God's Word. The BBOV airs in English, German, Russian, Spanish, and Ukrainian, providing more than 885 million people access to the on-air broadcast. Viewers can watch when and where it's most convenient with on-demand access through our website and the dedicated KCM Roku channel. Roku connects you to the BVOV broadcast anytime you need it. Watch archived broadcasts, Healing School, and much more 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. The 2015 Branson Victory Campaign, February 26th through 28th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The 2015 Southwest Believers Convention, June 29th through July 4th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests in Fort Worth, Texas. The 2015 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign, November 12th through 14th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia.
Today is Offering Day, and it's important that you sow so you can reap. You sow, not just here, but to church, to people, to individuals. You become a sower and you'll become a reaper if you undergird it in faith. Now the scripture says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. Now, if you've been sowing grudgingly and sparingly, like when the offering plate comes by, you're like, oh no, not again. I'm going to have to put money in there. You're not going to reap. You got to change your attitude. And here's the scripture to do it on. 2 Corinthians 9:6. That's what it says. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. If you've not been reaping, you might check that scripture out right there. Let each one give as he's made up his own mind. So that means if we want to get in this flow, we're going to have to obey God. Do what he says. Mm-hmm. It's what he says about your giving that's important. So we find out, of course, we're tithers, we're sowers. We find out exactly what to sow. It says God loves and takes pleasure in and prizes above other things. Think about being prized above all other things. A cheerful, a quick to do it, prompt to do it, I should say, giver whose heart is in his giving. So as you sow your money today, as you sow your seed today, put your heart into it. You know, you could. Some people give, but their heart's not into it, and yet it costs them the same thing.
You don't get any reaping. Really,
so put your heart into it. When you sow in church, put your heart into it. Put your faith behind it. It says God's able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance when you put your heart into it, when you sow by faith, so that you may always, under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Billy and I agree right now, partners.
Amen.
It's touching your sowing today that you reap a harvest, quick harvest, a full harvest on your sowing. So be blessed today. Glory to God. And increase every day. Sow something to somebody. All the time, just become a sower. Glory to God. That's to individuals. It's to church. It's to ministries. Just be a sower. Do what you're told. If you missed any of the broadcasts this week, watch them on our website, kcm.org, or on KCM Roku channel. And go to church. Get in a good church. Mm-hmm. And sow your seed in Jesus' name. He's coming. I'm going to be ready. You're going to be ready. Glory to God. Ken and I'll be back on the broadcast next week. And join us for a powerful time in the Word. This is Gloria and Billy reminding you that
Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. The Believer's Voice of Victory is available on DVD or CD at kcm.org. You can also view the webcasts online at your convenience or download them as video or audio files. Continue to grow in God's Word and build your faith with this week's product offer. These word-based teachings will help you live in victory. Order your copy today. Receive the great grace God is abounding toward you and live in the blessing.